Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, precious Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you have spoken, it is written, and your spirit is here to illumine us to your ways, to your word, to your wants for us as your children. We're so grateful to call upon you. We're so grateful that you're present with us. We're so grateful, Lord, that you give us insight into your mind and your desires, your plans, your will. Lord, let us never to be underwhelmed by that, that we have access to you through your word and spirit. Lord, we ask this morning that you will cast away the things that easily distract us, that you will let us focus in on what you will have for us, that we will focus in on our thoughts, our affections, Lord, the very core of who we are, so that we submit ourselves to you. Lord, we do give ourselves to you for these moments and for our whole lives, but especially these times when you will promise to renew us and regenerate us by the hearing and listening of your word, and may we do that faithfully now, Lord. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about thanksgiving, gratefulness, and joy. In the verses I read, these three short verses, they really get straight to the point, don't they? I mean, I've been thinking about these verses for a long time now. They're the first verses I ever intentionally memorized. When I got to college, I went to a small Christian school in Pennsylvania, and I was given a list of verses to memorize to help me acclimate as a freshman in there. And of course, I chose the verses that were the shortest and easiest to memorize, the most expedient ones. But I've been thinking about these verses since my days there 20-some years ago, and I love these verses. I mean, these are the type of verses that you often see etched on a wood plaque on a wall at a church or splashed on a canvas in a home to give that motivational, inspirational thought for today. This is indeed a great little passage, isn't it? But to be honest with you, I don't really believe it. I mean, sure, rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, those are great things, and I do them to some extent. But the words I really don't believe that I struggle with are those words always, without ceasing, in all circumstances. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you I believe these. I tell you, of course, this is the word of the Lord. I believe it. But when I look at my own life and the practices and posture of my heart, those things don't testify that I really believe this wonderful little passage. And my hunch is this morning that I'm not the only one, given the year that we've just had, COVID 20 and 21, and perhaps many other things that are going on in your life. Maybe I'm projecting it a bit, but my hunch is that many of us struggle with those same things of the always and without ceasing and in all circumstances. And now, we're not going to go through each verse and unpack the meaning, because I think actually the meaning's quite clear and straightforward, right? I mean, to rejoice is to exalt and take overt pleasure, an explicit pleasure in something or someone, and that's, of course, the Lord or the situations he put us in. To pray is simply to make your requests known to the Lord, and to give thanks is to give thanks to God, to thank him, to say, Lord, you are in control of all things, and you've put me in this situation, this circumstance, and I'm going to thank you for. I'm going to express gratitude for that. The meaning of these three short verses is clear. It's the application and the execution that's hard, isn't it? But why? Why aren't I always taking joy and exalting? Why aren't I praying as a regular rhythm of my life? Why don't I give thanks in all circumstances? Why are these verses so hard to live out? They're straightforward and clear. I thought about this, and I've tried to put down some reasons, some justifications why I'm not always joyful or thankful. And I think saying these and owning them might be helpful and instructive. I wrote down that there is an intellectual justification, that I don't believe Paul is talking about every situation here. I mean, he's using rhetoric, isn't he? I mean, all doesn't mean all always, or every doesn't mean every single thing in every circumstance. He's exaggerating his point to exaggerating to make his point, isn't he? To make us a little bit more happier and grateful people. And besides, Paul doesn't know my situation. He doesn't know your situation. Life is hard. That's the justification. Then I have the if-only justification. You know, I don't believe that I have that much to be thankful for. If only I had, fill in the blank, this or that. Or if only I wasn't going through this, then I could really be grateful and be joyful always. Then there's the cockeyed optimist justification, right? You don't want to be that person. You see in the hall, church, you know, Tim is going through lots of things with his taking care of his aging mom, and he just lost his job, and you say, hey, Tim, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm great. Everything's great. You don't want to be that guy, do you? Because life is hard, and you want to own it and say it and be sincere and authentic to those around you. You don't want to be that guy. Then there's the motivational justification. Okay, even if I know I should be those things, it's too hard. I mean, I'll maybe try for the rest of this day, but then Monday hits, and I know what happens on Monday. And then there's the theological justification. I'm not actually sure how to live out in the light of these passages. I mean, Pastor Marty, am I actually to thank God for COVID? Marty, am I really to thank God for getting diagnosed with cancer? Or even to the mundane, monotonous, everyday existence that some of us may grieve over? Am I to thank God for this? Do I actually believe him to thank God in every circumstance? In short, I think our struggle here is not one of execution, but one of belief. We don't believe we should or able to live out these commands. And this means this morning, for a few moments, we're going to work on our beliefs, our deep down, deep-seated convictions of what we really believe and know. So you won't be joyful or thankful or pray continually if you don't believe you should be or are able to be. And so to deal with a prayer or a joy or a gratefulness problem is really to deal with a belief problem, isn't it? And once you deal with those, then your affections start to change and then your actions start to change. And so, as again, let's just work for a few moments on our beliefs this morning by asking really just two basic questions here. Why should I be joyful and thankful always? And how can I possibly be so? Start with the first one. Why should I be? And I think the most obvious, clear, straightforward answer is actually given here in the text, verse 18. Why should I be rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Note that this is a pretty strong statement. Note that this is not the first time Paul says this. If you just go back to chapter 4, verse 3, you'll see the very same phrase. Paul says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And he goes on to pretty strong ethical and moral commands of you. And this we take very seriously. And when people break these commands, when people fall in these areas, we lament. We cry. It's terrible, isn't it? When if you were to read on, talking about brotherly and sisterly love and how we treat one another, we take seriously that command, the will from the Lord. Why don't we take it equally seriously here when Paul says this is God's will for you? Probably the most asked question I get in pastoral ministry in terms of everyday living is, Marty, I want to know, I'm trying to figure out, I'm struggling to think, to know God's will for my life, whether it's a job or a career decision or a schooling decision for children or retirement or things to do. You know, I know that the Bible gives me general will, but I need to know God's specific will. There's nothing more specific that gives you day-to-day application than this command from the Lord, is there? This is very specific, and it covers every single circumstance that you'll ever be in. The will of the Lord specifically applied to you is given clearly here in this passage. But for some reason, I don't think we take these commands as with the same heaviness or weightiness as the commands from, say, chapter 4, verse 3 and onward. Why should I be joyful always and thankful in every circumstance? It's God's will for me. But Paul goes beyond that to help the Thessalonians here. He knows human nature, and he answers the question why in another way. Why should you be thankful and joyful in every circumstance? Look back, Thessalonians, to what God has done. I mean, the Thessalonians became Christians in the midst of much suffering and persecution. They risked their lives to become Christians. And so back in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says that they received the word in much affliction. In chapter 3, verses 2 through 8, we have this great little passage here that Paul says, man, I really want to know how they're doing. I know because they're Christians, they're suffering. And Paul wanted to know how they're doing, so he sent his beloved Timothy, and Timothy came back. Paul says, how are they doing? And Timothy says, listen, I've got great news. They are standing firm despite what's being done to them. And so chapter 3, verse 8, we've got that great phrase of brotherly love. For now we live, Paul says, if you are standing fast in the Lord. Why are the Thessalonians to be thankful and joyful always? Because God has kept them in the midst of such persecution. The Thessalonians have gone through hell and high water to become Christians and to stay Christians. And because of that, we know it's God's work and they are to be joyful. But it goes beyond that. What else has God been doing? Well, in chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, hey, listen, when I came to you and gave you this new thought, this new religion, this new way of life, you didn't receive it as word yet another teacher coming to town. You received it, as it says in 2:13, as the word from God himself. Most people don't receive it at that. Be thankful, rejoice that you heard it as what it is, God's word. In chapter 3, verse 13, take joy, Paul says, because your hearts are being established as blameless at the coming of our Lord. Your hearts are blameless at the coming of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, he writes to them and says, I don't really need to write to you about brotherly love because you're doing so. Point being, be thankful, rejoice. God is at work in you and through you. Praise God. What I'm trying to say is this, that the Thessalonians heard this word from Paul in the midst of a very, very hard year. And dare I say the Thessalonians have had a harder year when they were going through what they were going through than what we have here. And I say that very carefully, knowing that some of you have really, really extreme hardships in your life. But I think sometimes we read off in Scripture, back to the justifications, well, that's to everyday people. I'm going through acute problems. No, the Thessalonians were being persecuted daily because of their faith. But Paul says, look back and you'll have known, you will know that the Lord is working in you and through you and keeping you. But not only look back, Paul says, he also says, look ahead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18 is in context of chapter 4 and 5 when it's all about the coming of the Lord. That the Lord indeed will return again, and for that reason alone we should be rejoicing always and giving thanks in every situation now, because that's what will happen. Chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, no matter what you're going through, take heart, God will avenge the wicked deeds of the world. Chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, listen, death does not have the final say. Those who fall asleep in the Lord will live again in the Lord at his coming. Chapter 5, verse 9, God has not destined us for wrath, but to attain salvation. Chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, capstone this with this great benediction. May the God of himself, of peace himself, sanctify you and keep you completely blameless at his coming. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. What is God going to do? He will keep you blameless at his coming, and indeed he will come and make everything right. Rejoice. Give thanks to that. Now, I think this connects really well with a contemporary of Paul, what he says, and I think does it so well. Flip over to, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think, summarizes all this in a really nice short passage I want to read, just so we're clearly focused in on what Paul has us for us to say, because Peter is saying the same thing to his people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and onward. And if you don't have your Bibles open there, just follow along as I read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Why are we to be joyful always and give thanks in every circumstance? Though you don't see him, you love him. Though you now don't see him, you believe in him. And though this world is struggle, and even you have struggles in this world, you have an inheritance that is way beyond anything this world can possibly give. And it's being kept and guarded in heaven for you, and you are being kept and guarded for that inheritance. Rejoice always. Give thanks in every circumstance, because even the hardships and trials, Peter says there in verse 6, go to serve to increase your praise and glory of the Lord and increase your enjoyment of that inheritance to come. So much so that Peter says we're to have a joy that is inexpressible now. Not only then, but now. So both Paul and Peter come together and say the same thing. Look back to what God has done for you. Look forward to what God will do for you, and you have overwhelming number of reasons for your heart and soul to be overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving, don't you? I think there's an analogy here that I've been thinking about. I think it works. You know, they say that you can tell someone's what they really value in life if you were to look at their, this is a bit dated, check register or their credit card statement. That's where you can really tell where someone's treasure is and what they value in life, isn't it? What they spend their money on. Well, I think there's an equally valuable commodity in our lives today, because, and it's the commodity of time. Everyone I know says, I'm too busy. I don't have time to do this and that. I'm just so busy. Life is busy. This on and on we go. But what happens when we hear the statement I'm about to make? We all know it's true, and it hits us deep down. You make time for the things that are really important to you, don't you? In the same way that you can check your credit card statement to show what's really valuable to you, you can check your calendar, your diary, your schedule, your day-to-day timesheets, and say, these are the things that really matter to you. Well, I think that's analogous to this joy and thanksgiving issue, isn't it? That our joy and thanksgiving in life are driven by the circumstances that really matter most to us. If we take joy and thanksgiving and that rides the roller coaster up and down based on our circumstances now and based on our all sorts of things, how others treat us, our own bodies, our health, our job situation, our family situation, then our joy and thanksgiving indeed will go up and down. But the things we just looked at in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Peter are fixed. They're secure. They're guaranteed. They don't waver. They don't vary. They're constant and they're certain. You will take joy and thanksgiving in life based on the things that really matter and the things you value. And I've just listed, Paul and Peter have just listed, a bunch of circumstances that should overwhelm us and move our heart to constant joy and regular thanksgiving. Well, I need to hear this regularly, and my hope is that the Lord has convinced you that indeed why you should be thankful, there's a lot of really good reasons. But then the question should be then how? How can I possibly do this? I'm convinced, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, the first thing I want to maybe dispel the myth or the misunderstanding is that you don't need to be naive or see the world with rose-colored glasses to be joyful always. Life is hard. Circumstances are hard. All of us, to more, lesser, or greater degree, have really hard things going on in our life, and we do not need to deny that. In fact, Paul seems to be saying we own them and subsume them into something that's greater going on in our life. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul's talking about ways to grieve, and he's talking about death. And he doesn't suggest that when someone dies, you don't grieve. He says when someone dies, you indeed do grieve, but you grieve differently than other people. You grieve as those who have hope. And even though he's talking about death here, I think the same principle applies to all of life. You can admit life is hard. You don't have to deny it. You can confess your struggles with life and yet still be joyful and grateful. Why? Because as Christians, you've been given a value system. You've been given a worldview that can accommodate and deal with anything given to you in this life, all the struggles and trials you may have. Because first of all, you know they don't, in one sense, surprise you. Life is hard. We live in life under the sun. We live in a fallen world. So struggles and hardships are part of life. But the Bible is very clear is that they don't define us. In fact, the Bible says often that they refine us. They make us trust God more. They build our character. And as Peter says, that character, that endurance, that hope is more precious than even gold refined by fire. So thank God. We're also given the Christian worldview to know that every single circumstance that God has given us is actually from the Lord and serves our good. And that's very hard, no doubt, in acute times of trial and struggle in life. But think of Paul when he wrote to the Philippians. He was doing well in his church planting and church expanding the gospel going through Asia. And then what happens to Paul? He gets thrown in jail. You could say, man, the greatest Christian movement ever now comes to a halt because Paul's in jail. But that's not what he says to the Philippians. In chapter 1, verse 12, he says, listen, what's happened to me, I really believe has served to advance the gospel. He's looking at it through the eyes of faith. You're able to give thanks in all circumstances because you know the story. You know personally the author of the story. You know where it's all going. You know the ending of the story. And you know then, at least in part, no, we can't fully understand, just like Job never fully knew why he went through such suffering, he can confess to the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the midst of life's hardships, we can do that. And thus, be joyful always and give thanks in all circumstances when you tell yourselves these truths regularly. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not just thinking here that this is the power of positive thinking, that Marty here or even Paul here is just saying, think good thoughts and you'll be okay. No, from what we've learned in Thessalonians and Peter, I think we want to say it this way, that living an always rejoicing, always thankful lifestyle is best done in the reality of life, not in the denial of life. It's best done in the reality of life, not in the denial of life. And here's how you can make that happen. I was tipped off to this by an excellent little book by Tim Chester named You Can Change. And he makes this point. He says, all of us need to be preachers. He quotes Psalm 103. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. To whom is the psalmist, David in this case, speaking? He's speaking to himself. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Are you listening to yourself like I did earlier and gave all those very reasonable justifications about why I don't need to honor this command from the Lord, why I don't need to be joyful and give thanks in all circumstances? Am I listening to myself? Or, as Lloyd-Jones says, as David did, am I talking to myself? What Tim Chester says is, I want you to become a preacher. Though you may never have a pulpit in front of you, maybe you never have an audience, you have an audience of one. Well, two, include the Lord, but one. You preach to yourself the truths from the Lord instead of listening to yourself. So in the midst of severe persecution, Paul here in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 wasn't giving them a trite, happy-go-lucky message to be joyful always and give thanks. He was saying to them that you have to make a habit of the mind and exercise your faith to be joyful and give thanks. No different than when you're trying to give up gossip or pornography or whatever besetting sin that you're struggling against. It's the same exercise to be joyful and to give thanks. But it can be done, brothers and sisters. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above. And that's a great way to start the day, right? With the word of the Lord, setting our mind on things above, and then the rest of the day, preach those things back to yourself. And stop listening to yourself. You can be joyful always and grateful in all circumstances when you become a preacher. You wake up every day, you preach to yourself the gospel, who you are in Christ, what the gospel is, and what God has for you, and you can't help but being overwhelmed by the joy of the Lord. Bringing this all together, I found a prayer that I think really illustrates this well. There's a man in the second century, a man named Polycarp. He was one of the first Christian martyrs outside the New Testament. And Polycarp was at least in his late 80s, maybe in his early 90s. And he was sitting in his home one day, and the Roman government thought this old man was a threat to their society. And so they came knocking on the door, and they said, Polycarp, come with us. We're burning you at the stake in the town center. And Polycarp says, okay, give me an hour to pray and then I'll go with you. And the guy says, fine. He goes and prays, and maybe this is where the prayer comes from. But he comes back out, they take him to the town center, they put him in the town center and put wood all around him and light the fire. And this is the prayer that was recorded him saying as fire was being lit around him, he's going to die a torturous death. O Lord God Almighty, the Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, I give you thanks that you count me worthy to be numbered among your martyrs, sharing the cup of Christ and the resurrection to eternal life, both of soul and body, through the immortality of the Holy Spirit. May I be received this day as an acceptable sacrifice, as you, the true God, have predestined, revealed to me, and now fulfilled. I rejoice, I praise you, Father, for all these things. I bless you and glorify you, along with the everlasting Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. To you, with him, through the Holy Ghost, be glory both now and forever. Amen. Polycarp got it. No matter the circumstances, be joyful, pray, and give thanks. We want to have a few practical points here as we conclude, but I just want to say this. If you're here today and you don't have the eyes of faith to see this, and don't get me wrong, it's very hard, but if there's you sitting there, you're sitting there and saying, there's no way I can understand how this works because life is hard, it's hard, it's what it is. How can it possibly be something I can take joy in or give thanks in? Come talk to someone up afterward. Talk to a Christian friend next to you who brought you, or someone would be happy to help you understand what the eyes of faith can see that no one else can see. Don't leave this day without at least trying to grasp that. Because being joyful always, praying continually, and giving thanks in all circumstances is a really important command of the Lord that we can only appropriate if we're in the Lord. And even that, we need great help. So I hope you've been helped by the word of the Lord today, but maybe just a few takeaway points to help us ingrain this. And the first thing I've already mentioned, I kind of skipped over verse 17 there because this was a topical sermon on joy and thanksgiving, but don't underestimate prayer. You want to be joyful always and give thanks in all circumstances, do what Polycarp did, pray in all circumstances. That's what Paul did in Philippians when he says, if you're anxious, cast your anxieties upon the Lord. He doesn't say, and everything will be fine. He does say, though, that the Lord will guard your hearts and minds with a peace that passes understanding. Nate, he said the Lord's Prayer today. It's a great thing to pray. When you are so beset by anxiety or struggles or worries, and your mind can't be gathered to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. It says the right things to God, and pray that you mean it, as he said at the end. And also know that prayer is not to be holed up to your quiet time in the morning that you struggle to keep, right, at 6 a.m. or whenever. Prayer is something that happens throughout the day, and that's why Paul says pray without ceasing. In other places, he said be on guard in prayer. A book that really helped me is called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. And what he does in that book is helps you understand that prayer is all the time, everywhere, in the car, driving, in the moment. Don't think that prayer has to be the half hour in the morning. Prayer is without ceasing. So pray. The second thing you can do, and it's what you practice here doing in church, is to sing. But may I make the point that don't just sing here. Singing binds joy and thanksgiving to your heart, doesn't it? This is why when you know good Christian songs, they just come into your mind. And may I just make a point directly to the men here this morning? I think some men think it's not very manly to sing. It's very manly to sing. It's really important that you sing and that you lead this congregation. If you have a family, you lead your family in singing because it leads your family in joy. You want to be joyful to the Lord? Make a happy noise unto his name. Right? Pray, sing, and I think thirdly, I'd say memorize. This little verse, you can start here like I did in college. You can have it memorized before you get home, before you even leave. Because what this does, it helps you preach to yourself when you have these words on your mind, in your heart. The other thing it does, too, it puts that pebble in the shoe, right? You know when you walk and you always notice it? When I was actually walking with my wife this week and thinking about this passage, I was in the midst of complaining about something I really shouldn't have been, and I stopped thinking about this passage that I am preaching on joy this weekend. I need to stop. Memorizing Scripture puts the pebble in your shoe and helps you become a preacher to yourself. So start by memorizing a really simple one. Be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Pray, sing, memorize, and then I'd say surround. Surround yourself with people who are joyful because they will teach you, they will help you, they will convict you. Don't be cynical like me and think they're just putting on a show. Thank God for joyful people and be with them. And then finally, I would say look. Look to the horizon that Scripture gives us is the only horizon that we know is unchangeable and certain. If I look to circumstances to guide my joy and thanksgiving, they're very uncertain. I don't know what will happen. I can't tell you that everything will be okay in this world for you. I can't tell you when this COVID stuff will end. I can't tell you when your job will get back or if you will get cured of cancer. None of this, anyone can tell you. But what we can say for sure is that the Lord has done so much for you, and the Lord will do so much. So you look to that horizon that never changes. Look to the author and perfecter of your faith, Jesus Christ, and that will well up gratitude. Pray, sing, memorize, surround, and look. Those are the things I think Scripture encourages us to do to fulfill this great command from the Lord. So back to the questions. Why should I be? It's because the Lord commands it. Am I able to be joyful and thankful always? Absolutely yes. So let me conclude with this word from the Lord. Rejoice always. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, Psalm 40. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your instruction is deep within me.